It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 20th. I'm Ben Johnson. You don't have to look hard to see the evidence of voice assistant software battles happening among massive tech companies. All you have to do is ask the right questions, like ask the Google Home smart speaker to shop for you on Amazon, or ask the Amazon Echo to add something to your Google Calendar, or maybe spend way too much time getting these things all to talk to each other.
Alexa, tell me about my 3 p.m. appointment.
Here is the next event. Today, at 3 p.m., there's OK Google. What is in my calendar at 4 p.m.?
Pretty silly, but you should know that this week, all iPhone users will be able to access Amazon's voice assistant software through its main Amazon iPhone app. It looks like a breach in the walls that tech giants put between their ecosystems. Julie Oskett Forrester is here. Julie, how will this work for iPhone users?
So how it's going to work is if I open up the Amazon app, one of the options I will have is to hit the microphone button and then talk to my phone just as if I were talking to an Amazon Echo that might be at home in my kitchen or my living room.
Is this also a way for Amazon to introduce its voice assistant software to a bunch of people who maybe weren't willing to pony up for the Echo speaker or thought maybe it was too creepy to put it in the home, but maybe not that bad to have it on the phone?
I think this is absolutely an opportunity for Amazon to introduce Alexa to a broader base of consumers. The most recent estimates that I've seen put the number of Echoes in the market at about 18 million. And if you compare that to the number of iPhones in the market, there's no comparison.
Forrester's Julie Ask, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
When you think of diplomacy, maybe you think of helicopters landing, of in-person meetings with different important people making the world turn. But international diplomacy is changing, according to Anne-Marie Slaughter, and the connected world is playing a much greater role. Slaughter worked for the State Department during the Obama administration. Her new book is called The Chessboard and the Web, Strategies of Connection in a Networked World. She joins me now. Anne-Marie, thanks for talking with me.
My pleasure.
So tell me about this analogy of the chessboard and diplomacy. It's one that's been used for a long time, right? How has it traditionally functioned?
Well, when people think about states engaging with each other, great powers, the chessboard is the oldest metaphor. Henry Kissinger says the Chinese prefer Go. But the point is you're playing to win, and it's all about you make a move, they make a move, you try to anticipate what they're going to do and counter it before they make it.
So how has all of this changed in the digital age?
That chessboard is surrounded by a vast web of networks. Think about criminal networks. We spend as much time thinking about Al-Qaeda or ISIS or any terrorist network as we do any great power. On the positive side, think about corporate networks, global supply chains. And then we have global civic organizations. So if you think about Oxfam or CARE.
At the end of the day, don't a lot of agreements still come to fruition because it's really just a couple of people, the right people in a room talking to each other face to face?
That's certainly what the government would like you to think. That is the state.
Go on.
Yeah, that's the State Department view of the world. It wasn't Secretary Clinton's view. It was a little more Secretary Kerry's view, which is to really make things happen in the world, you've got to get a bunch of us in a oak-paneled room talking to like-minded people and we'll cut a deal. It's certainly the current president's view. That's not true. We don't just need those few people in a room. Indeed, we can do it without them entirely. We can all essentially engage in our own kind of foreign policy that I call webcraft. Webcraft is the art of identifying a problem, figuring out how you solve it first locally, but then at scale, then thinking, who do I need to connect to be able to create the network that can actually make a difference?
Is there a particular digital tool that you've used before that you're a huge fan of that is a kind of specific application for a lot of the big picture stuff we're talking about here?
Twitter is a good example of something that is partway there. So on the one hand, it allows me to connect to people I could never connect to otherwise. The downside of Twitter is that it's almost impossible to turn that into a network of action. And I need a tool. We ultimately need tools that help us connect to all the people who are interested like us so that then you can mobilize the network as a whole and you can shape the network in a way that will work for whatever purpose you need.
Your last book was called The Unfinished Business, Women, Men, Work, Family, which stemmed from your Atlantic article titled Why Women Still Can't Have It All. What has made you shift gears for this book?
You know, I spent my whole life as a foreign policy person. I started writing about networks in 1994, and I published a book on networks in 2004. There is one connection, though, which is that when I talk about webs and webcraft and networks and horizontal power, women get it because we have traditionally not had vertical power. We weren't in those oak-paneled rooms. We were not those statesmen. So a lot of women, not all, but a lot of women immediately respond to the idea of power with how you mobilize people in networks rather than telling them what to do in hierarchies.
Anne-Marie Slaughter, her new book is called The Chessboard and the Web. Anne-Marie, thank you very much for talking with me.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.